Hey, this is Luke. Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast. Powered by Bazodi Magazine. We'll be interviewing local creators who were in and around the clock for the Popover season and beyond. Join us on this journey as we go behind the scenes of what makes Popover, Popover.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Lure Up Podcast, powered by Bazodi Magazine, recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions. Tonight's episode will be featuring Sivers III, Barbadian rapper and artist. Stay with us as we dissect passion versus purpose and how his mental health played a pivotal role in his music career. We hope you enjoy!
Welcome to Lure It Up Podcast with Bazodi Magazine. November is heating up and events are releasing fast and furious. We at Bazodi Magazine are compiling a calendar to cover all events for the season. So make sure your event isn't left out. For more information, check us out on Instagram or www.bazodimag.com. Bazodi.
Okay, so we're back with another episode. My name is Megan Michael, and this is Lure It Up Podcast. I am super excited for this one because I don't know much about rap in Barbados. I grew up on Eminem, Snoop Dogg, all the cool 90s, even 80s rap. And I love the early 2000s rap. But for right now, I'm not too sure about the rap happening now on the scene. And so I'm so happy to have Sivers here to give me a little refresher, give me some beats, some vibes, tell me what the scene is here in Barbados about rap and even all the way in the US and the HBCU colleges that he's going to be attending for his tour. So let's talk about that. So first of all, before we go in, introduce me to you. Who are you? Don't want to cut you, but you can't see him, but he has such a beautiful smile.
Oh, thank you.
It's so nice. It's so warm. I love his smile. And I think that his voice complements his smile.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I appreciate that.
Introduce me to you.
I go by the name of Sivers III. I picked that name because I'm the third child of three. So okay. Shout out to the first and the second, my big brother, big sister. I used to be called Kevin Diaz, but I changed my name because my music started to get a lot more personal. Okay. And I went through this kind of reform in life because I made that name when I was like 13, 14.
Okay.
And, you know, stepping into the world as a young black man, trying to transition like 21, 22. I went to reform and like what I was talking about and some of the experiences I was going through. So I decided on Sivers III to kind of do that rebrand. Fun fact. My great uncle is Lord Sivers, so you know, okay. I say B-A-R.
Oh, yeah. That's a real rap there.
yeah. He's the OG, man. He's the OG. So it's in my blood to do this, really and
awesome.
Truly.
Yeah, that's for sure. Nice. So that means that you have some type of Bajan culture in you, and your foundation here is very rooted in something real.
I mean, my biggest song locally is a song called Bridgetown. That's what really introduced me to a lot of people.
Bridgetown?
Yeah.
Hold on, one goes, that sound familiar.
It goes, Bridgetown, I'm from Bridgetown. These streets you made me, my spoil youth engraving. My daddy issues drove a ghetto youth crazy.
Oh.
Now I'm scheming on some Grammys. Now I'm scheming on some Grantleys. You know what I mean? So like, I think I talk about like stuff going on in Barbados. I had a remix with Taff. I had Ruby Tech. I had Sun Rock. I had Billy Kincaid.
There's a real rapper's boy.
Yeah, we did the remix and we did the videos. You can see all the visualizers on my YouTube.
Oh.
But I love hip hop culture. I was captivated from it very young. My brother was a rebel. My mommy was very Christian. And I kind of followed along his lines more than anything else. He got into like reggae and Southern hip hop, New York hip hop. And I remember he was playing like a Biggie Smalls track with Method Man called The What. So it goes, excuse me, flows just flow through me like leaves from branches, cliffs to avalanches. It's the praying man. And I was like, yo, he's just hiccuping a song. That's crazy. And to me, I was like 7 years old hearing that. Wow. That just really like locked onto me. And I was like, how can I do that? But like Barbadian. You know what I mean? Like, how do I talk about my stories? How do I latch on to that?
Mm-hmm.
And it took me some while to develop it, but, you know, here we are.
That is awesome. My vision on rap is all about poetry.
Okay.
And the last podcast we had was all about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So I can ask you the same question. How is your story, your personal story with rap when you were young, made you know who you are and how you tell stories through rap and poetry?
I would say, well, you know, rhythm and poetry, right?
Yeah.
Rap, if you want to use the acronym.
Yeah.
I tell stories about the not so sweet truths about Barbados.
Mm.
I feel like we get the beaches and the sand and the tourism commercialized. And that's definitely part of Barbados. I like a fat, like everybody else. So like, you know, go drink a drink and party like everyone else.
That's more the soca
vibe. Yeah, the soca vibe. Mm-hmm. But like, my stories are really about that, about where I grew up in Black Rock, some of the rough circumstances that come up with having a single mother who did everything on her own, raised me and my nephew. And like, those are my stories. My stories are real. Sometimes they're not sweet. Sometimes they're political. Sometimes they're like in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to tell a little bit of everything when I tell stories. But as a kid, I think all artists start off in imitating.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was a person who read a lot of books.
Oh.
I actually was reading for a very long, young age, like encyclopedias and just words. So I always had a fascination with
the words.
But compared to no, I would say I'm definitely better no.
Okay.
Because I was a very shy kid and didn't really interact much.
Mm-hmm.
But life kind of put me in some circumstances where if you don't speak up for yourself, you can't get anywhere.
Mm. You know what I mean? An artist, for sure.
Yeah, closed mouths don't get feed.
I mean,
as you would know.
Yes, I definitely know.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's talk about your support system.
Mm.
And I am heavy on support, especially as an artist, because sometimes it feels like you're going, you're putting all this work, you're, you know, writing your lyrics, you're producing, and sometimes you don't feel like you're getting anywhere, but there's your conscience, your small voice in your head, or there's actual people telling you, you got this, keep going.
Mm.
Who's your support system?
Well, I would say my team is like the Beijing Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay.
Because we're like 10 deep in terms of like rappers and talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Before I met them, I definitely felt that way.
Mm.
I felt like I was kind of out here on alone trying to navigate the space because it's very soca oriented, very reggae oriented.
Yeah.
Maybe even spaces for R&B, but not really rap.
Mm.
And I had to kind of learn that you can't do everything on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had the opportunity to work with Barry Knight and Peter Headley at Odyssey Entertainment, like they really taught me and my team structure. So my team is called Red Owl Publishing Records.
Right.
And the reason why we call it Red Owl is because when the Amerindians first discovered Barbados, the island rose from beneath the surreal sea level and the smoke came off of it.
Mm-hmm.
They called it Ichirukanai, which is the island, the red island with white teeth.
Wow.
So I call my
Barbados?
Yeah. Wow.
That's amazing history.
Yeah. So okay. I took the red island, red isle part, because my dream of this is building a circuit for all the Caribbean islands, but you got to start at home first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't got your room dirty if you want to invite people over, you got to make sure everything right. So I built in Barbados, started building a red isle by Mixie out there, that's my producer, Darren King on management, Barry Knight and Peter Headley on management, admin stuff too as well. So, and then we got rappers like Buff Poet, AL90, like people that people don't know about yet, but we're just developing them in the background. And that's what we do shows, you know, to give our artists a chance to perform.
Okay, that's your actual...
I feel like I just overload you.
No, that was fantastic. I love it. Overload me.
Mm.
But that's your music support. What about your personal support?
Okay. Personal support. Well, I mean, really just my mom and my nephew.
Mm.
Really, like, the good thing about Red Owl is that we're friends too and, and business partners.
Mm-hmm.
So mix Darwin a lot. But when it comes to like music and dealing, like having a relationship, it's be hard because people don't really get your dream.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get the hours for nothing.
Because
sometimes you got to build something from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So like you got to kind of find, I guess, partners or people to really like understand that I can't do nothing else.
Yeah.
I wake up, I live, I breathe, I eat, I sleep.
This is it.
Shit, you know what I mean?
This is it. Okay.
Yeah.
As an artist, Barbadian artist, I should say, we spend so much time on our craft and we really go into deep, you say, into encyclopedias and research. And when we go into the US or the UK, we're seen as not enough or small. You know what I mean? What would you do, or what have you done, or what are you looking to do to make yourself as big as a rapper as anybody else on the international stage?
I mean, something that my management tells me all the time is that you got to start with self. You know what I mean? For me, in my early stages of my career, especially being young, like, I was very competitive. I was very like, yo, I could like eat any rapper from anywhere alive.
I mean, that's a rap game, though.
I still feel that way now, but it's more of a like, I'm more focused on self. How do I build myself in a way that every time I rap, my raps are stronger, my performance is stronger, my connection with people is stronger. How I really, because when you start with self, you can affect everyone. I have been fortunate to be around a lot of artists that have been tapping into different markets and seeing the way that they did stuff behind the scenes. So I really am blessed. But for me, I really don't get caught up in, we got to do this or we got to compete with these people, because I'm as good as Drake. I'm as good as Kendrick Lamar. I'm as good as any rapper that's signed to any label. And that is my mentality. And every day I just got to figure out how to be the best series.
I love that. And I love that you spoke about self, because you're one of your singles, Save Me.
Yeah.
Is a really big one. And I need to understand, where was the foundation for that song?
Wow. You want to get deep? Buy me a drink first. No?
Let me go. Let's go.
I guess. All right. How do I start this? So, went to St. Michael's School. Big up St. Michael's School.
Okay.
Alumni there.
Nice. I have a lot of St. Michael's friends.
Oh, real? Yeah. Oh, real.
I love
real.
Y'all. Are good people. Yeah.
Done anything. For me, I went to school there. It was a great school environment. My home environment was a little chaotic. My mom and dad were kind of going through a divorce. And school was like really my escape. So I wasn't even doing music at that time. School? I was actually playing like rugby and like activities and like going out with my friends and hanging out. You know, like usual kid stuff.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I ran into some health complications. I started to get some growings and like swollings on my neck. And they were like not very big at first, but then I just kind of like brushed it off. But then I woke up a day and it had spread. So I went to the doctor, inferred that it was cancerous, and I found out that it was I was diagnosed that it was a abscess.
Okay.
So I had surgery on my neck, and then I was bedridden for like 2 months before I had to do CXEs.
Oh my God.
So it's like I was getting like sponge baths and I couldn't move, I couldn't go outside. I was on pills, painkillers and stuff like that. Wow. And yeah, I felt hopeless, man. And unfortunately, around that time, I went into a state where I tried to take my life. Clear was not successful.
Yeah, so this morning right next to me.
Yeah, you know, you have to. And I made it out of that situation. I don't know if it's God or the ancestors or whatever people believe in, but something really pulled me back and was like, nah, this is not your time yet. And that was the first time in a long time that I really like felt emotionally like drained, like I was done, I was tapped out. And I really had to slowly rebuild myself. So fast forward 10 years, as I getting into like this music and obviously the rebranding and changing my name, I wanted to get more personal. So Save Me is about that. It's about feeling like everything around you is crumbling down. You try your best to give your all to people and the ones you love, but sometimes that's not enough. And you feel broken, you don't know where to go, but you gotta reach out for help, you know, because you can't do it alone.
So when you say Save Me, is it a song, if I were somebody in your position or if I wanted to take my life, is this a song where you are saying, I am here to save you, or can you save me, or it could be both?
It's both.
It's both.
The last couple lines in the song go, I'm keeping my eyes on higher grounds. I'm building pillars for my children. I'm too obsessed with, I'm not obsessed with empty vessels who been hurting me or taking away from me. And then they say, I'm more obsessed with failing healing. So the song is really about tapping into that side of you where it's like, yo, I can't do this on my own. And I'm tired pouring from this empty cup and helping people when I can't really help myself. So I think it is, I can save you. Not necessarily me, but there's someone around you. This song can do something for you. And it's like creating a space where you can reach out to someone and get that help. Because I feel like sometimes we feel like we got to do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We be these supermen and superwomen of our lives, and we have such great, larger than life personalities, and we believe we could do all of this. But then, you know, who takes care of Megan when Megan can't take care of anybody else?
It's true. It's true. Well, you know, as a dancer and a past musician, I think that art is healing. And when you say save me, I think about the fact that you can save yourself and you can heal yourself. Yeah. And when I dance and when I move and when I close my eyes, or if I listen to a song or if I hear a rap, it's just immediate saving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's immediate healing.
It takes you
on a trip. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's such a beautiful thing about music, is that you can, one, tell stories. You can use beats to take you on a journey, like how you got the drums and how you got the different instruments. It can take you on different journeys. Or you can use the rhythms and the syncopations and the metaphors and the similes to connect Barbados to the U.S. and the U.S. and the Black diaspora to understand what you're saying. And I just love that you can use that to heal yourself.
Yeah. I mean, not only with Save Me, if you listen to my most recent releases, I got a song called Black.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just talks about exactly everything you just conveyed, like being Black and what that represents, you know? Like, gotta love our queens, can't beat our queens, respect our queens, teach her things, she teach you things. There's messes in our genes.
Wow.
Ancestors crying out, false idols feeding from our seeds. Who teaches you to love? Which is bad for self-esteem.
Mm,
you know what I mean? Like,
I love that.
Like, you know, Lupe got a song called Bad Woman Good. You know what I mean? Like, so how do we help each other?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're in an era that's obsessed with, like, men versus women, and men can't do this and women can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, even past, like, the physical, like, my thing about friendship, my thing about companionship is, like, how can I be of service to you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, every performance, like, everything I do in life, how can I be of service to you? What what can my music, what can my words, can I offer something to help spark the change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I feel oftentimes, especially coming out in Barbados, doing arts, whether it be dance or music or whatever, you just feel disenfranchised. Funny you said dance. I go to a studio there on Spooner's Hill called Noise Boys Studio.
Uh-huh.
And on my walks to the studio when I'm going in, I met this dancer and he was like telling me his story. And he was saying, yo, like, I don't even dance anymore, bro.
What?
I got 3 kids. I got a job. I got, like, you know, and I used to love it. Like, and you could see that, like, that, like, death in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't even do the thing that I love no more.
Yeah.
And that must be heartbreaking. Yeah. I always imagine what would it be like if I wasn't rapping. I can't imagine it. You know what I mean? What would it be like if you couldn't dance?
There's no such.
You know what I mean? That world doesn't exist, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about passion versus purpose.
Okay.
What are you passionate about, and what do you think your purpose is?
Mm.
For me, I am passionate about dance. But my purpose is reaching as many people as I can to make them feel confident about them, about their bodies and themselves, to movement.
Okay, that's dope.
Yeah, what about you? What's your passion and what's your purpose?
I'm passionate about rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm passionate about doing things with words that influence people in a way that's very, like, cinematic.
Mm.
How can I tell a story? Can I rap a bar and transport you to Bridgetown that you're sipping on a red snow cone and it's sunny outside and your snow cone melting and you see two people walk past with, like, a bandana on.
Oh, I love the
imagery.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And, like, you see all these streets on Swan Street. Like, can I do that with words?
Mm-hmm.
That's my passion. My passion is music. How can I craft these songscapes that transport people places? My purpose, I believe, is way bigger than music. My purpose is to show Black boys and girls from all across Barbados that whether you grew up in Black Rock or whatever else.
West Federal, like Rihanna.
You know what I mean? You could be whatever you want to be.
At the Super Bowl.
You know what I mean? You could be Coachella.
Yeah.
You could be selling out Kensington Oval. You could be, whether it be a local goal or an international goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my whole, on my Instagram, I call myself a rebel mogul.
Wow.
Because I feel like what I'm doing is not the standard at all.
That's a juxtaposition. It can't be relevant. And the
exactly. But for me, it's like doing stuff that's different. I build in a movement that is not just beneficial for me. I don't want a 17-year-old rapper from Barbados to ever go through what I had to go through ever again. They should be able to find a manager. They should be able to find a booking agent. They should be able to find a space where artists meet up every week and collab. They should be able to find shows to perform. They should be paid well. They should be respected. They shouldn't be sheep or shepherded by organizations here, third parties that try to abuse the artists and use the artists, generate millions of dollars. The artists themselves don't end up having a cent for their own name, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really what my purpose is. My purpose is to educate. My purpose is to elevate. My purpose is to
advocate for everything.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. You spoke about the international stage, and I just want to know what's next for you on the international stage.
Okay, so I guess we got to go back a little bit.
Oh, okay.
See, you got me jumping all over the timeline.
So we were here. You told me about school, SMS. We skipped to 10 years. You got into music. You wanted to educate, advocate. You got into the music.
Yeah.
What took you from getting into music to know going to HBCUs
and performing
colleges? Right, so like, I need to figure out what's happening between there.
Let me rewind 3 years. Okay, sure. So I just finished university.
Overseas?
I graduated with, no, Barbados.
Oh, okay.
I did, went at Cave Hill, did computer science.
Oh, wow.
Funny enough, right?
I studied psychology. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I see, so that means you're all over here talking and picking me down. That's crazy. All right, so yeah, I finished that. I finished school. I figured out computer science was not for me. At the end of finishing university, I was like president in music society, vice president in music society.
Oh, wow.
So I did shows, I did gigs, but they were mostly covers, mostly like doing stuff with societies, but really great relationships there. But I finished there and I was like, yo, I need to do music. I can't, this is not, this 9-to-5, this structure is not for me. Though they're pretty lucrative and flexible stuff in computer science, but it just wasn't for me. I came to the end and finished. I'm like one of those people, like I start a bad book and I still gotta finish it. So my life is like that.
I'm like that too. Yeah.
I know. And so I finished there. I opened a restaurant with my mom, because my mom and my dad, they were in food their whole life.
Oh.
She continued doing it. I just decided to help her out. We started business and then I got stuck doing that. And I don't want to say stuck in a bad way. It's just like, you know, sometimes life takes you places where you got to like help people around you. So I did that. And I was still doing music on the side. I was still working on projects. I was still writing. But I had found myself in like this stagnant, like, yo, I don't know where to go. Ooh, how do I start getting paid from this? Like, how do I live off of this as an artist when the climate isn't for this? I'm not clearly not putting in enough hours. And then, I did that for
3 years.
Two to three years, I would say. And then recently, I would say about the 2 year mark, I got into a big car accident.
Oh,
me and my friends were out. The road was wet and the vehicle swerved and flipped 4 times.
I saw that in the paper.
And I was like, oh, shoot. Yeah. And then Rat came, shout out to DJ Surf Rat, pull us up.
St. Peter, right?
Yeah. Okay. Down that side, but like, I'm on Zion side, Zion Hill side. Right, and I was like, yo, I can't, like, I was going to die and all my music was going to be on my laptop. You know what I mean? Like,
really? That's what you were thinking?
Yeah, legit, that's what I did. I got out and I was like, yo, like, am I okay? I was just like, yo, I could. And another one, my friend, shouts out Chris Fields, he's an artist too. And I was just like, Chris, you don't believe I could have just dead, bro. And nobody would have known call about me, bro. That's crazy.
Oh, it had to be a life or death situation.
And then I smartened up. I start putting together people around me. I start building my team. I started going to these like online lectures from like music industry execs online. I paid for them, sat into them. Fortunately, BACA, which is a local organization for artists here, they did an online conference and that's where I met Peter Headley. And then I found out that Peter Headley and Barry Knight worked together and they started to like develop me as an artist. Fast forward a couple of, I'll say months and then slash years. Yeah, so that happened. I know I'm jumping all over the place. So the car accident happened, a year passed. Then I met Brian and Pete. And then after that, they introduced me to a studio out of Florida called Whitfield Studios. And they loved the track to a man called Soul Food. Great song. It's really about the struggles that like coming up as well. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I have a theme here. And yeah, so they took the song, they remixed the song, recreated the production and everything. They were looking to go on a tour and they work in the Caribbean with artists. So they was like, yo, we want to bring a bunch of artists along to do this tour thing. We wasn't really sure how it was going to work out. And then also I managed to score a feature from a Florida native named Blood Raw. He got on my chat. And then that kind of just spiraled into me being put on. And then it did Save Me. Okay. They heard that and they loved that as well.
Wow.
And then it went from, you know, you might get a few performances to, yo, we're going on a 5-state tour.
Oh, wow.
And we'd love you to open, you know, so.
I think that's a huge jump.
Yeah, but in between then, I was still doing stuff locally. I was playing out freestyles. Right. I have this thing called 30 in Thursdays.
Okay. Because
my first project was called 30 in Theory. Service the Third, 30 in Thursdays. So you're 30? Yeah, 30 in Thursdays and 30 in Theory. So based on Freudian theory, like the Freudian slips.
Yeah, I know Freudian theory.
And psychology, so you got to know this.
Yes.
I must just say, it's my feel that I know going on. But yeah, so I did that and I was building buzz locally, doing a lot of different stuff.
Mm. So you were putting in the work. So you're literally preparing for something you didn't know exists until it was ready.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in preparation stage.
Always, always. That's the biggest thing. Mm. Do I stay focused? Even during that time, Pete had put me through a bunch of different stuff. So it was like meditating. It was reading a lot. I was watching a lot of interviews. I was very focused. I took time off work. I was more focused on getting more hours in the studio, getting more hours in the gym, like really building myself, not necessarily to be a caricature of what I want to be, but just be the realest, authentic me. When I get on stage, can I breathe? Yeah. Like, can I do what I want to do vocally? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm blessed now.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So
what states are we hitting for the next few months?
I know for sure it's going to be Florida. I know they mentioned Virginia. I know they mentioned Atlanta. We don't have confirmed on all of them yet. Mm-hmm. But as the day comes along, you can check me on social media. I got all of them.
Awesome. Yeah. What was your preparation for this?
Shows. So I've been doing a lot of shows. Look, I had a show Sunday.
Okay, so your preparation is shows to do shows.
Yeah.
You got any other preparations like stage performance? Like how would you?
Oh well, somewhere before this, I actually had a performance stage coach flying from Nashville to train me.
Really?
Pick up my man Lang. Shout out Lang, man. Lang Bliss, man. That's my guy. Yeah. So I was very fortunate to have Lang train me.
How is that? What does that look like?
It's like 10-hour sessions, 3 days back to back.
What
are you doing? You're working on stage presence, you're looking at vocal protection, you're looking at position on stage, enunciating your lyrics. There's a lot of repetition, there's a lot of breaking down your tracks for live, is recreating an experience. It's less about me and more about them, the audience. You know what I mean?
Is that interesting?
Yes.
And it's kind of like character building as well.
Yeah.
You really get to like, figure out who you are when you break down everything.
You said it like this, okay. Let me say it's just me, you.
Yeah.
And I want to approach you to take you on a date, right? I go, hey, my name is Sivers.
Okay.
I'm going to die in 3 days. You'll be like, whoa, that's a lot. You know what I mean? So he says like approaching your audience, like your people is similar. You go, it's like some people date their audience and some people get married to their audience. You gotta decide which one you are. So if I go, hey, my name is Sivers, have a nice smile.
Thank you.
That's a little lighter, you know?
Yeah.
It's easier. So you gotta like build your set in a way.
Finesse the set.
Yeah.
And the set finesses also by the deepness of each one. The actual set that you're singing tells a story. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to like
Not giving you too much in the beginning.
Yeah.
But as you progress, you just say, okay, he raps, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he could get me to get up to dance. Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like, whoa, he went through that. I felt that. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, and every night is going to be different. It's not going to be the same.
Are you excited?
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
For sure.
Ooh.
Totally excited. I've been waiting my whole life to do this.
Wow.
You know what I mean, whether it be like freestyles or like rapping or like being in the scene in front of people, waiting my whole life for this.
Let's push back to passion and purpose. What's your purpose for this tour? What's your intention for this one?
Well, the theme of the tour, from what I've been told, is loosely it's about mental health. It's about problems in Black communities, like communicable diseases, diabetes, that sort of stuff. So it's really an outreach. So my purpose kind of aligns with that.
Okay.
For right now, I'm working on a project called Rap Basquiat. And have the name based on Jean-Michel Basquiat, his paintings. I feel like my songs are like that. They're very layered. They have a lot of elements to like street culture and pop fiction in them. So it's like my album is like that. So I align that to my purpose now, being in the sense that like I really want to raise awareness about different things. You could listen to my song and just party. Or you could listen to my song and find something that you might be missing, a piece or a book or something that I reference. You know what I mean? It's very layered.
Okay.
So my purpose is really just getting out there and meeting everyone who kind of been going through similar things to me. You know, music has been very therapeutic, very helpful to me, very selfless to me. You know what I mean? Like listening to artists' stories and, you know, and I'm pretty sure you could relate when growing up watching dancers and see how they express themselves on stage.
I actually studied music as well, so I can understand. I play instruments and things.
What did you play?
I used to play clarinet.
Real?
Yeah, and I got royal school. So...
I swear. I don't disrespect the order.
Just
let them know I don't disrespect the order.
So I kind of understand how you feel.
Nigga,
you're
stunting for me here. Just let me know. Let me know. She here laughing, pretending, but she don't know. Nah, but that's cool though. That's dope.
Yeah, let's lighten it up now that we're speaking about music. So let's do some song association.
Okay.
So song association, if you don't know, in my song association is I'll give you a word and I want you to, you could like freestyle rap, freestyle poetry, freestyle flow. Okay? So you ready for the words?
Sure.
So the first word is love.
Okay. Love is the essence of the soul. If you look inside the eyes, you will probably find the more to all the key elements, components that we hold. If you could find the essence, then you will probably grow. I said love is the key to the soul. If you ever find a purpose, then you would truly know to find the true person to look into your soul and give you everything that you ever want to know.
Ooh, I love that was so good. That was it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, next one. We again got three words. This is second one.
Cool.
Next one is fam.
Fam?
Yeah, like we're getting family? On fam, like family. However you want to interpret fam to be.
Me and the fam, like Rock Nation in the 90s, Red Owl Boys trying to get red whips and Bucatis, don't rock chains, Vacherons on my wrist. You protect every time I rap, it's like a swish. Fam is where I keep it, home is where the heart is at. This is for the ones who always are on cardiac when the ones that they love are in potential to be clapped. You gotta stay strapped for your family and that.
That's it. Last one, respect.
Respect.
You could think about this one, think about it. Respect. However you think respect to be.
Respect is given, not earned. It's something that's reciprocated through times that burn. Deep inside your memoirs, like pictures from a Polaroid. Like Kanye West said, what does Lady Gaga know about cameras?
Polaroid. Yeah.
Take a snapshot of my life and you'll see what respect looks like. You earn the stripes from going through all the grapes. At night, I used to sit alone and jot at night and type, trying to find my way to the top. And now it's looking like the light comes from inside my soul. I beam and metamorph into something bigger than me, trying to scheme on a couple grant leaves or a couple G's. But money means nothing to me. It's about where I take the money and the things that I do to build community and self to be in the presence of me. Because being in the presence of me is being in the presence of God. The knowledge of self is all you need.
Yes.
The black man is God. The black woman is God. We look inside each other and find the elements that are needed to transcend gods. God with a common G, not God with a capital. The things that we need is capital to build and invest in futures and devise in ourselves and divide ourselves mentally, spiritually, but connect ourselves as one. The soul is essence. The soul is strong. Respect is something that is built with bonds. And if you believe in yourself, the truth is never lost. In this world, we call Babylon. I Babylon.
I hope that was good.
I hope they listen back to him. It was fun though. It was so good.
That was so good.
That was fun, my G.
Whoa, I love it. So talented.
Thank you.
So talented. Okay. So to end it off, I need to know what's the next thing that we're doing. I know you have a show coming up this weekend or next weekend.
I got
Can you give me some details about that?
Okay. So I'll tell you all the things I got planning. Just here.
Okay.
First off, y'all gonna know. So On the 30th, I'll be in Sheraton doing a pop-up for my shows. Mm-hmm. On the 1st.
Okay, the 1st is Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the show in Sheraton is going to be, well, the pop-up in Sheraton is going to be on Friday.
It's like a weekend vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the 1st, I'll be at the Sage Bar and Stage. Mm-hmm. David Curtin's place. Shout out to Noelle and David for giving us the spot. We did it last time.
That's on the South Coast.
Mm-hmm. Maxwell South Coast. Yeah. Okay. We was down that side 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Can't remember right now. Okay. But like, yeah, we did the show there on a Sunday. It was crazy. Had mad people there.
I got to come out.
And it was a nice, yeah, you should. Yeah, come true. That's come my true, vibe. Come true. Come true. Nice intimate vibe. Nice drinks. We got openers from the Red Owl label that are gonna be there before I go on stage.
Okay.
So we start around 7, but I'm not probably gonna be on till like around 9-ish maybe. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And then the next week on the 8th, I have a show called Avenue featuring the lovely Lee Phillips. Mm-hmm. She's gonna be one of the headliners along with myself. The Avenue show is all about exposing artists. I used to do this 4 years ago. Before COVID, we used to take a bunch of upcoming artists and kind of just throw a show inside the gap. All hip hop DJs. But now I'm kind of diversifying it, adding in R&B, adding in soul, adding in like an after party element to it. We got my good friend Walks is gonna be at the after party.
Mm-hmm.
So I really merging the gap between like hip hop, R&B, and soca. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
From Walk Black Rock to right.
I know. Yeah, you know, shout with my. But yeah, so the 8th is gonna be Avenue. Mm-hmm. That's gonna before that on the 7th. Yeah, there we go. 7th of October, I'm gonna be in Sheraton again in Athlete's Foot. I'm doing a pop up there because they're actually one of our official box offices.
Okay.
So that's gonna be dope. So you could get tickets at Athlete's Foot, you could get tickets at Upbeat Walks, you could get tickets at Upbeat Walk, you could get tickets at Upbeat Sky Mall, C&D's Kitchen, which is my restaurant on Government Hill.
Okay.
With my mom that I mentioned earlier. And you could also get tickets at Campus Smart. So it's gonna be fine all over the place, man.
Oh, this is so good.
They got
so
me busy. Bar here working me.
This is so good. This was such a good inspirational conversation. I got so much respect for you, fam. Much love.
Respect you too. And for those that just see Mega online and see her in person, she is a lovely soul.
You
got a really good energy about you.
Thank you. So this is good. I wish you nothing but success. And this is a journey, you know.
Yeah, it really is.
And then I love when people prepare for their journey without knowing where it goes.
It's gonna take it.
Yeah, because then you just live life selfless because you know that it's going to take you somewhere far.
Yeah.
And I just want you to never give up and keep your head above water every single time.
You know what I mean? One of the things that I keep hearing all the time about the music industry at large is that there are no guppies in the water.
Mm.
So what they're essentially saying is that it's just either be a shark or be eaten.
Yeah.
But I like to think that coming from Barbados, I think we go through a lot of adversity as is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll be great in that environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Good job. Mm-hmm. Thank you for agreeing
Thank
to
you.
Me.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to our podcast. This episode was recorded and produced by Robbie at Nameless Productions.